Welcome to FinTech's DEI Discussions podcast series. This is the Women of FinTech chapter, and we are here today to celebrate the wins, raise awareness of the challenges, and walk the talk for change across the entire financial technology industry. Today, we are joined by Safra Abdeel, Director of Digital Investing at Coutts. She is here to share how she walks the talk for inclusion in our sector, and more importantly, what more she wants done. Safra, welcome. I'm super excited to have you with us today.
Thank you, Nadia. Great to be here.
So let's kick off. Tell us about your role, and I'm super excited for you to share how you got into this line of work.
Yes, of course. So I work in asset management, more specifically digital investing journeys. And my role is to deliver the strategic roadmap for digital investing products, creating experiences that delight customers and help them make more informed decisions in their financial growth. My responsibility as a PO is to have a vision and convey that vision to my Scrum team, consisting of programmers, designers, testers, and business analysts. This vision is developed by an understanding of the customers, the marketplace, and our business strategy. I meet with management and users to understand their needs and then spend time to think and document those understandings into product level improvements.
So that's super interesting. And thank you for explaining all of that to us. How did you get into this line of work?
I actually started off in data and analytics, which equipped me with a really good foundation of all of the important skills needed for a role in product. But my career has been very much non-linear. If I had to summarize my journey, I would sum it up as one of opportunities where I was quite unsure about what I wanted to do, but I've always focused on my strengths, what I enjoy doing, and trying to gain as many transferable skills as possible without thinking so much about where it would lead me to. We pick our degree at 17, 18. It's impossible to know what your career will look like at that point. And I always accepted that interests change and that you can take your career and life in any direction you want to. I love working in investments because personal finance is so integral to all of our lives. I want to play a small part in dismantling the barriers that result in the gender investment gap. Research has shown that women are much less likely to invest in shares and other assets than men. If young women were to grow up understanding the ins and outs of investments, many of the barriers that threaten to hold them back later in life may be less of a problem.
And these are super powerful points that you're making. And this is kind of why I wanted for you to share how you got into this line of work, because I love how you explain that whatever you think may be your goal in a career in this industry, it can take so many different turns. And I love your story and your progression and what you've achieved in the time that you've been in this space. And you're absolutely right. There's some huge gaps that we need to tackle and we need to affect. Before we go into addressing some of those gaps, tell us a bit more about the business itself.
Of course. So Coutts is a private bank. It's over 300 years old. We offer private banking and wealth management services for high net worth individuals and their families. I work within the digital investing team and asset management, and we are essentially the investment center of excellence. So we design customer-centric propositions that align to our purpose and address the UK savings, pensions, and advice gap. Coutts is part of NatWest Group. As such, our propositions also cover NatWest and RBS Invest.
That's brilliant. And again, thank you for taking us through that, because I think a lot of people will look at a company from the outside and not really understand everything that's covered and what you're doing to day by day improve the sector for so many different people. And I know that you work with lots of different people in your global team. You talk about the power of diversity, and I'm super inspired by how you talk about that. So I just wanted you to share that with our audience as well.
Thank you. Yes, absolutely. So my Scrum team is really global. I've got people based in Zurich, Sarajevo, and London. I also work with colleagues in India And what I find is when a team of individuals with different backgrounds, experiences, and perspectives come together, they're more likely to approach a problem from different angles, which leads to more creative and innovative solutions because each person brings in a unique set of skills and experiences to the table. And from a product perspective, this means we have different ideas about how to design a product that meets the needs of customers in, say, a different region. And we're able to leverage those diverse perspectives to create products that meet the needs of a more diverse customer base. I think building an inclusive and diverse workforce is the right thing to do. And it's good business, different ideas, different ways to look at problems and to deliver products and services mean a better experience for customers at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love how passionate you are about that better experience. And when we were talking before, you know, you shared your story with me. You spoke to me about your background and how that's really affected you positively in your career. You spoke about resilience, adaptability. These are super important things for this sector. So I'd love for you to share that with the audience as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So my parents are originally from Somalia. I was born in the Netherlands and I grew up in a really small village in the eastern side, close to the German border. I lived there for most of my childhood and then I moved to London, which you can imagine was a huge cultural shift. Growing up outside of my own country and culture meant that I always had to adapt, and that's made it easier to work with a wide mix of colleagues and clients. I hope it's also taught me to be open-minded and receptive to new ideas. I do think that is a huge strength. My background, the values my parents instilled in me, and their own resilience of moving across various different countries helped me overcome challenges and think of failure as one less future mistake. If you come from a background like mine, you probably have a high degree of adaptability, but very often people forget that or shy away from embracing it by trying to fit in. I actually see it as an advantage that should be embraced. It's part of being your authentic self. If you come from a diverse background, it often equips you with a lot of different soft skills that are very beneficial to the workplace today. And two of them that I've just mentioned are resilience and adaptability.
And as I said, so powerful in this industry. When, as you say, we're constantly trying to improve solutions for customers, that being able to adapt to different market states, different trends, the economy of 2023, we all had to adapt to that. Now, you've really used this experience that you've had, and you are now an inclusion ambassador at NatWest. I just want you to share how this works and affects recruitment, and more importantly, what I'm super passionate and active in, inclusive recruitment.
Yeah, so NatWest launched inclusive interview ambassadors to support diversity on interview panels. And there are currently more than 300 volunteers from our inclusion champions, but also from employee-led networks that have gone through D&I interview training, and they support in bringing diversity and of thought and challenge to interviews. The purpose is to ensure the recruitment process remains free from bias and to keep diversity and inclusion at the front of our minds during each recruitment process, and challenges us all to take the steps to shortlist diverse candidates. So the role of an interview ambassador is to create an environment where candidates are relaxed and can do their best and challenge line manager thinking where required. So I've been doing it for just over a year. I've supported interviews outside of the area I work in. For me, it's been a fantastic opportunity to do more interviewing and also support colleagues across the bank while playing a really big role in the bank's goal of championing potential and ensuring we have a diverse and inclusive workplace. How it works is a hiring manager might need a second interviewer because normally we have two people undertaking the interview. What they can do is they can just put out a request for an inclusion champion stating what grade and role they are hiring for. There are sometimes rate restrictions depending on the role, and then the ambassador can choose the support. And after the interview, they'll come together, compare notes and reflections about what went well and what could have been done better.
And this is so great that you've shared this with us, because I think there's so many companies out there that are like, oh, we want to improve on this, but we don't know how. And the fact that you guys have had 300 volunteers on this is testament to itself, that people want to be active. They want to drive better behaviours and systemic change that truly includes everybody. And this sort of championing of inclusion, to you, how important is it? Because we've come some way, but there's still a long way to go, right?
Yes, absolutely. When people are not able to participate fully, we lose out on really valuable knowledge and skills. Diversity is only a box-ticking activity if there's no real inclusion. So we all have a role to play. I feel like every person has something valuable to share. And unless we raise awareness and use our individual thought, we're not going to advance. And I think that's why it's so important that we all champion inclusion. As an industry, as you said, we have come, I wouldn't say a long way, but we've come some way. It is clear that we still have a very long way to go. We've got large gender and ethnicity gaps still existing within the financial services sector. And there are still large parts of the industry that lack diversity at the senior level. And the products offered to customers still do not always meet. The products offered to customers still do not always meet the needs of disadvantaged groups. So I do think there is a clear momentum for change, which has been building up over the last few years, where there is an increasing focus on gender and race. And these have engaged the attention of the financial services industry, I would say, globally. ESG issues are also rising to the top, and that kind of puts a spotlight on D&I as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really appreciate all your comments there, because I think the way that you're explaining it is, it's absolutely spot on. There is a momentum, but it's so important that we're all involved in that. And I'm super passionate about everyone feeling included in inclusion, and not resting on the shoulders of the marginalized to make change happen. And when you talk about the steps that you are taking to drive change and the steps that the business are, it makes me even more confident that all of us should be active in this. So when I record these podcasts, I always say, let's walk the talk. So like, let's not just chat about it. What are you going to do about it? So what would your advice be to our audience in terms of what you'd want them to be doing more of to drive genuine workplace inclusion in their workplaces?
That's a great question. I'll focus on three areas. The first is intersectionality and data gathering. I would like to see more data gathering to bring in elements such as financial education, social mobility, and race according to intersectionalities. It's important for employers to understand how intersectionality impacts upon their workforce during all stages of the employee life cycle, from recruitment to onboarding, all the way to performance and progression. Taking gender diversity as an example, this is high on the agenda with International Women's Day. However, in many cases, if we look at gender diversity through an intersectional lens, large groups of women still aren't represented or don't feel like they are heard or seen. So employers really need to look beyond the optics of sort of marketing materials and correlate that with really quality data to have an impact. The second area of focus for me would be sponsorship. When we're considering going to the next level, it's really important to have a sponsor at the table who can represent you. A career sponsor elevates your visibility at work, it places you in new roles, ensures you get the credibility and defends you in your absence. I've been very fortunate personally to have had sponsors. So it's equally important for me to take on that role to more junior colleagues. And similar with mentoring, I always say to my mentees, I'm mentoring you, but I would like you to pave it forward and mentor someone as well. Women are often over-mentored and underrepresented in sponsorship. I think both are important, but I would like to see more sponsorship. This, the last area of focus would be conversations about unconscious bias and workplace inclusion with middle managers and those that may not be super into D&I. Often we're having these conversations in a vacuum and the people involved don't need convincing. They are already on board and they understand the value of diverse teams. But the actual people who might be on the fence or indifferent about it may be missing from those conversations. So what I would really like to see is having those open conversations with middle management and decision makers.
Really, really powerful points that you're making there. And it's on my mind, of course. And we're preparing for our International Women's Day event. And you want it to be authentic. You want it to really drive change. It's not just about one day. It's about every day and a change in behaviours. And I think everything that you've shared with us today is genuine, thought out action. You've inspired with your career journey, with what you've done to progress yourself, but also what you're doing for those around you. So it's been absolutely brilliant talking to you today. It's been great having you on this podcast, FinTech's DEI Discussions. And to everyone listening, please do implement the learns from Sahra. Let's listen, let's learn, let's walk the talk.